Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am here predicting episode number 10 of Survivor 46 with Kelly.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wait, how is that happening?
I don't know. I just did a thumbs up, and now there's fireworks. So,
wow, what an entrance. I've never seen that before. Does that just happen?
Let's try it again. Nope. Okay. Well, it was a one-time special.
Okay, well, Kelly, thank you for figuring out whatever you just figured out to get the firework explosion. I'm not playing favorites to anybody who is listening to this who's been a previous guest. I did not set the fireworks off for Kelly, and I also did not attempt to pronounce her last name because I saw the Gordon interview the first time, and he was like, that was the most stressful part of my day, and I forgot to ask.
Now you're going to have to do it, so.
Well, I forgot to ask how before we went live, so is it now Bandian?
Perfect.
Okay.
It's very phonetic. Everyone's very intimidated, but just sound it out.
That's it. Okay. Well, here we are. We are predicting episode number 10 of Survivor 46. Most people who are tuning in are probably like, is this going to be a season 50 podcast? It's not. It's not. It's not. Kelly is shaking her head very swiftly over here. Wild news that not even wild news. It's the expected news, but I guess it's how early Jeff announced it. So yesterday, for anybody who's catching up, yesterday at a Los Angeles event, Jeff Probst announced that season 50 is going to be all returning players. So the campaigning, I assume, is about to begin for most of the new era players. So watch your social media. It's probably about to get really feisty and interesting and crazy. But I am not here to ruin Kelly's chances of getting on. So that might be the extent of our season 50 conversation.
Yeah. I'm very excited, though. You know, as a fan, player, all the above, I love to hear that. So it's overdue.
It is very overdue. This is like the longest stretch we've had without new players or without returning players. The show's history. Crazy.
They're really into the new era, you know?
I know. And now they're going to have this crazy pool of new era people to pull from where everybody is, you know, big on social media, big in real life. People can actually follow up with everybody throughout, unlike in the first 8 seasons where if you went home 16th, nobody really knew what was going on. So Here we are.
Craziness.
But we're talking Survivor 46. Don't worry. That's what we're here for.
We're here for 46. Let's put the spotlight on them. The fire.
I know. We can't overshadow the ending of what has been an absolutely insane season. And then 47, 48, 49, we can't overshadow them either. So we still have 3 full seasons and the finale, the final 3-4 episodes of this season.
Yeah.
What have you been thinking of the absolute chaos following up your season?
Oh my God. It's very funny to watch. Like, I really feel like it's such a different vibe of a season. And it's like, even us being together, people have compared it like 43 and 44, kind of like the way the cast were put together. They're like, serious, and now let's do a crazy one. It feels very similar here. But this is like so chaotic. I mean, as a viewer, I live for the chaos. I live for the mess. As a player, I think this would be a highly stressful experience. But it's been really, really fun to watch the last few weeks, which I love. So I think ever since episode 5, it's really been like on the steady up climb that I've it's kept my attention. But I never, power rankings are hard to do now because these players are highly unpredictable.
Yeah, and now we've had two people this season get voted out with idols in their pocket.
Yeah. Ouch, man. That stinks.
And was the Hunter one not obvious? Like, Hunter, was this not obvious to you? We talked about it with Bruce, and you were sitting on the jury when Bruce went home. So you can give that outside perspective of kind of what happened with Bruce and from your eyes when he was playing that. But this Hunter one seemed super obvious, almost similar to the Bruce situation where it was like, don't believe them.
Yeah, I actually think, I mean, I like, you know, kudos to Hunter for all of the great things he did in the game. But like, I actually think this was almost more obvious than Bruce, because I do think there's this element with Bruce that like people were like thinking about, is he going to win? You know, and they'd be like, hey, maybe he's not as much of a threat to keep in terms of like jury votes and things like that. Whereas like Hunter, I think, is also like well-liked. So he sort of had this like double conundrum of not only is he like this huge physical threat who keeps winning and is probably even more of a dominating challenge beast than Bruce was. Like Hunter was like dominating the pre-merge challenges. Like Bruce was certainly good in them and helpful, but not to the, like Hunter is like another level of, you know, I mean, so I was like, I think it was even more obvious for poor Hunter, you know? Oh, and then and now they both have these like public idols now, but like Bruce has sort of got thrown out. He didn't, and then, but Hunter's, he did himself partially. So yeah, it was hard to watch. I'm not gonna lie.
When you are watching that and you see Hunter going around telling everybody that he is an idol and he's 100% going to play it that night, he had not told anybody about his idol up to that point. This, we're talking an hour before Tribal Council. What were you thinking his plan was? And for future players you're going out to play, do you recommend what Hunter was trying to pull here, even if it didn't work?
I think I don't really recommend. I feel like if you've actually successfully kept an idol a secret to the point where you probably need to play it, then what was the point of keeping it a secret this whole time? Because then like, I think when he had that conversation, not that he was like such tight allies with Venus and Liz, but the way he approached that like last minute conversation, he's like, oh, like just play ball with me. Like it's kind of too late at that point to, oh, here's all this information I've been hiding from you for, you know, 2 weeks. And now in the 20 minutes for Tribal Council, I want you to vote with me. And I don't even want to do who you want. I want Ben. I feel like you have to sort of like, if you're in this position where it's going to be you or Q, then you need to go with the vote that these people who you are like putting your life in their hands, you need to do what they want, even if it's not maybe the best thing for you. Like we're in a little bit of we're in self-preservation mode right here. Not necessarily like I'm going to win the game right now. And so I don't know. I think it was a misplay, but I get that it's like a stressful decision. There's a lot of plans like rolling around, and this particular season is very chaotic. It's much harder for someone like Hunter, who's very like logical and I think thinks in a straightforward way, to like work with people who don't necessarily think that way.
Yeah, it's the Jeremy Collins. He'd rather work with really good strategic players than really bad chaotic players, because you saw what happened to him in Sam Wandel Sur. He went out because he was thinking logically and nobody else was. And then he wins second chances because everybody was a little game body, which, you know, is an overused phrase.
Yeah.
But when you look at how Hunter wanted, he was so focused on, I must use this idol and also make a move. And we've heard these conversations now to start the last couple of episodes. After Soda went home, it was who deserves credit for the Soda boot. After Tevin went home, who deserves credit for the Tevin boot? Mm-hmm. Then we have, oh, Kenzie wants to vote out Tiff, but Maria doesn't want to do that because that's supposed to be Maria's move, and now it's Kenzie's move. Mm-hmm. How much were you thinking about that, and how much was 45 thinking about that? Because I don't feel like we've heard those types of conversations as much in the new era as we are this season.
Yeah, it's very, I think that's one of like the themes of this season for me, is like, it's like a lot of chaotic playing. And then there's this where like, there's everyone wants to feel like they're in control, that everybody knows that, which is, I mean, that for me, when I was playing, like, of course, you're thinking about, if I get to the end, how am I going to have my case and I want to make sure that I'm the strongest player, blah, blah, blah. But I think something that I was thinking about in terms of my season when relating to this was like one of Dee's best moves was telling Julie to play the idol to save Julie and get out Emily, which was the best case scenario for Dee, right? Like for Emily to go home. And we all sitting on the jury, like Dee played it off and we were like, what is she doing? Like, this is like, why would she do this? Why would she vote out Julie? Like, why is she surprised? And then it was such a poignant moment at Final Tribal for her to say, hey, no, actually I did know this was something I did. And it almost hit harder, I think, because she was able to say it at Final Tribal. Plus, it allowed her to keep closer to Julie, keep closer to Austin, take some of that heat off of her. So I think that's probably the way, if you're able to do it like that versus, you know, needing everybody to know that this is your move, blah, blah, blah. Because like for Maria, for example, I think I'm watching like her and Charlie, like they are still in the middle, like even in this new structure, like they know all the plans that are on the table. They're choosing what they want to do. And so that can be Maria's thing. Even if this is Kenzie's idea, she could still be like, you know what? Like I had all the plans brought to me. And at the end of the day, how I voted with my best ally was how the season went. So I think there's still a way to, even if it's somebody else's like original idea, like you can own it your own way. I don't know. It's also a little early, I think. You know, 9 is still kind of a precarious spot.
I think people kind of forget that when they go out and play. And we saw it with Yanu in the pre-merge where Yanu is playing so aggressively. They think they're playing this winning game, but nobody from the other tribes is even seeing it take place. Yeah. And I do think sometimes people get a little caught up in, I got to make the move because I got to make sure it happens. And yeah, you don't want to get into a position like Jake or like Owen or like Carolyn where nobody's going to give you credit at the end. Mm-hmm. But you can start making your moves late. Erica and Marianne waited a long time before they actually started playing the game to the level they needed to do to win. Yeah. Gabler made one move and it was to get out somebody who didn't even make the jury and he ends up winning the season. So I think people get a little too caught up in it. And there was a comment on one of our last videos and I don't remember who it was, but they said something along the lines of people need to understand that if you're in the power, a big move isn't actually going to help you. Just keep moving forward with the power and then wait to make your big move.
That's a very interesting observation. Yeah, that's so true. Wow. But yeah, I kind of feel like the meta of the new era, like that when I went out to play, I was sort of like thinking that way, like people waited a while to make up their bigger, flashier move closer towards the end, just because it puts such a huge target on your back. It's really hard to continue to maneuver that way. And then I think our season was sort of almost an anomaly in that case where you had someone who did control more votes almost the entire merge win the game. But that wasn't really the norm of all the other examples you were just talking about.
Yeah. And I will say that I told the 45 cast that, you know, D's like a top tier winner, but like, I was like probably the best one. I forget who I even said. And you were all like, really? You don't think she was better than this? You don't think she was better? It's like, you guys are very defensive of your D here.
I think that's just that she did like a good job of like being in control without it being like unbelievably overt all the time. I mean, she definitely was viewed as a threat and the way the alliance structure worked out was like super beneficial for her. But that's sort of the game you have to play when you're a player like D, right? So like you have to like, you know, everyone comes in with different expectations or predictions on how people think you're going to be just based on who you are, if you're physical, if you're like more of a big personality. And so everyone's path is a little different. So like for D, I think she almost has to play a more controlling game because if not, she's just going to be sniped anyway, right? So
no, and I think what's fun about D's game and what's so impressive about it is she played it very strongly from start to finish, but she was never put in a position like Jesse was in 43. Jesse would have lost to Cody at the end, so he had to get rid of Cody. But by getting rid of Cody, he also knew that he was making himself public enemy number one for that move and that the jury was going to say, we're going to vote for him. So everybody now is going to want Jesse out of the game before Final Three. Dee never had to do that because she was positioned where she had a chance, it seemed, at least from the edit, that she had a chance against everybody who was remaining in the game during the late stage. And she never had to make that absolutely insane move that is going to make her stick out from the rest of the crowd. And there's no
like everybody else had to do that to her. And then you know, it's like if Julie takes out D, well, then Julie's now like 100% going to win the game. So that was, people have asked me like, oh, who would win if D wasn't there? And I was like, the answer is probably whoever took out D. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's that. Very interesting. Anyway, let's pivot back to 46.
Yeah, Jake was so close. I do want to throw this one up. This is Shadow the Cat. Almost every season in the new era has had one person who has not been able to make a move and gets to the end. I don't know why this has been the new era trend primarily. Do you want me to keep it up?
Not been able to make a move. Oh, like they're trying, but they're not able to sort of.
Yeah, pour. They can't get the control. Do you think that's playing into the, like, why Q wants to be in control of everything? Why Maria, who has now seen a lot of older women make it to the end of the game and not mm-hmm. get much credit, that's why she's a little bit more concerned about, I need to make these moves. Do you think that's playing in? The meta is almost like,
just I do for sure. Like when I honestly, I thought about it the most when I heard Liz talking about it, and like she's self-aware enough, I think, to be like, I know that I'm being viewed as somebody who's just going to get dragged to the end right now. And I don't want that to be the case. And I think that is in her instance, I think, yeah, maybe there is a little bit of like, I'm playing to win the game. I'm not playing to like, you know, not lose. Right. So it's like, are you playing and trying to win, or are you just trying to get another day? At a certain point, it's what's the point of like just staying there if you're going to lose? Right. So I get what Liz is saying in terms of like, I need to show them that I'm a serious player, or else no one's going to take me seriously. I mean, I think it might be a little early. And for Maria, I think she's already been in such a strong position so far that she might not need to do this right now. But I think absolutely that's playing on everybody's minds. And then also making sure that you have the people around you that you want to be able to make the moves. Because sometimes there's people who get far, but they're just so isolated that they don't have the tools to push their agenda. And then there's almost nothing. There's like, what can you do when you have the numbers like so stacked against you?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that in this season, based on what you're seeing and, you know, just watching after playing, Charlie and Maria are the duo, right? They're the duo who's kind of been in the middle of everything. They're the ones who seem like they have their finger on the pulse and are making mm-hmm. the decisions. Do you think Charlie is going to get more credit for that though, just because of like preconceived notions? Or do you think Maria has Maria done enough to kind of push herself away from Charlie or no?
Yeah, I think probably Maria's thinking about that herself right now could also be motivating sort of what we're seeing her talk about. But I think a lot of the story for us as a viewer has been told more from Charlie's perspective. So it's hard for me to like fully answer that question and like understand how does everybody else really think about Maria? I haven't heard a ton from other players about what's their assessment on Maria. Cause to me, like when I see Maria and like every time I see her, like she comes across as a very like strong, powerful woman who knows like how to play the game, knows what she wants and would be a threat in many ways, but no one's really said that about her. So it's hard for me to like fully categorize, but I think that a lot of people in general, when they're in a duo or they've played the whole game with somebody, this is the time when you start to be concerned that if we're both there at the end, how are they going to differentiate our games? And can I really sit next to them if all of our moves are the same? And so that's probably like Maria in the next time on Survivor, she's talking about, it seems like she wants to maybe work with Q. She's like, I'm not really afraid of Q. So maybe I should just keep, he's not going to win. So, which is a fair point, but this is where I think they're going to diverge and Maria might be taking a more like risky route. And it could be a little bit of this in her head.
No, I agree. And so let's talk about this next time on, because that mm-hmm. is, you know, the episode we're predicting is episode 10. Liz is pissed. We have not seen somebody as pissed since Debbie Wanner way back when. What is going on that is going to piss Liz off to this extreme?
What I don't know. Oh my, but what the heck, you hoe bags or whatever, is like the new what the hell guys. I fully endorse it. I'm honestly shocked they aired that, but it's absolutely hilarious. I don't know. I would assume that Liz is still feeling frustrated on, you know, she thought she had this Tevin blind side and got fully overshadowed. And now she was on the wrong side of the vote here. So she's probably, I would just think she's like really frustrated with her lack of agency. Oh, someone just said probably didn't get picked for a food reward. You know what? That's probably actually the most
likely. JD.
She's giving angry. What's up, JD? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hi, from season 41. There he is. She probably doesn't get picked for a food reward. I mean,
that's probably right.
And she can't eat. Like, she can't eat anything. She was going crazy over the popcorn. So maybe that is what it is.
That is probably most likely. But she seems pissed a lot, which I don't blame her. This seems like a hard group to feel emotionally calm with, I think.
Yeah, and you were talking, I won't out you here with Gabon, so I'll just say, you know, but it is very similar to Gabon in that it just everybody seems to have such a, I don't like you, but I'll put up with you for as long as I can. And if you're getting that and then you're being left out of things, you're going to be extra pissed at these people because you don't even feel like you. You're like, I'm just putting up with you. I don't even like you. Why am I here?
This season is going to be, I think this season will be really interesting. Like, I don't know about lesson because it's hard to like apply it broadly, but like how much chaos are you willing to put up with if somebody's not a threat? And I think that line is so difficult. It's something that I struggled with the whole game. Like, you know, how long do I want to have Bruce here, even though he's loyal to me? If he's like, if I'm not able to steer his vote, like that was such a conundrum for me the whole time. And I feel like a lot of the players on this season who are a little bit more like logical and level-headed are having a difficult time grappling with, well, now Q's probably not going to win. Nobody is like his biggest fan right now, but like, can you, he went into this vote where he's about to leave and then votes for Ben. So it's like, even when his butt is on the line, he's still doing something unpredictable. So it's hard. Like, yes, you can play ball with him, Maria, and you're probably going to beat him 100%. But like, can he be depended on to like follow through and plans with you? It's such a hard line to walk. And this season is like, you have so many variables like that. Like Venus's play and Q, it's very hard to like know how everything's going to go. And you're getting down to like 8 people. These votes, every single vote is so important.
Yeah. And I like to pretty much, I feel like I have a segment every week now of let's catch up on Venus's Twitter because Venus is back on Twitter now. And she had a good one this. Yeah. She had some good ones this week. Venus is a great follow. If you don't follow her, follow her. I mean, it's super entertaining. Even if you only agree with like 50% of what she's saying, it's still very entertaining. And I'm very happy Venus is on this season, but she had a tweet this week, which I think is important and a good one to bring up.
Yeah.
She said, there's something so satisfying about your three biggest enemies being voted out 1, 2, 3. It was something I'm paraphrasing. She might not be so funny, but we all get the idea. But the problem is when all three of them are now also on the jury, you need to get like, that's three votes already that you can't get from an 8-person jury. Mm-hmm. We saw last season, 5-3 was the win. D beat Austin 5-3. So if you can't get three, you need to now pull the other five
votes, the rest of them,
in this game. So if you're sitting there, you're Maria, you're Charlie, you're Kenzie, you're Tiffany, the name we haven't brought up somehow yet this podcast.
Yeah, she's my favorite player. Love Tiffany.
And it took you 20 minutes to say her name?
I know. I'm sorry, Tiff. I just love the way she's playing. I think she's like a fun character and a great player. I'm a big, big Tiff fan. I'm a little nervous for her now with the Q bomb kind of blowing up her game a little bit, but I think she has been phenomenal this whole time.
Yeah, Tiff was my preseason winner pick, and I feel like I've talked about her less than I probably should have, because for some reason there's just been something a little off where I'm like, I don't see her winning. I feel like she's going to get that fallen angel right around, get blindsided, but you see me. She for anybody who's only listening, Kelly did the tear.
I just did a single tear down my face. If that happens, I'll be very sad.
We know Venus can't get three votes now. She's not getting Tevin. She's not getting Soda. She's not getting Hunter. You know, Q is probably getting no votes right now. Mm-hmm. How though, if you're Charlie, if you're Maria, if you're any of them, how do you say to yourself, okay, I know I can beat these people, but there's still 8 people remaining in the game. And how do you navigate that? Because they just might be the easy vote at a couple points where it says, it's either me or them. It better just be them. Look, Hunter learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is actually a difficult spot. I think they just need to try to figure out like which of those people is the best one to bring with them, and part of that is, I think, trying to figure out, which could be hard for this jury, is like, is the jury or certain people going to vote a little bit more emotionally, like they're feeling spiteful or anything, or are they going to vote like, hey, you know what, this person beat me? And I do think a lot of people who are currently on the jury think like, and you know, certainly like Hunter, I would assume, would like vote for the person he thought played the strongest game. But like, not everybody, this is going to be a really hard jury to navigate, because I don't think everyone's going to vote in like a predictable way. Even like, I mean, if Q ends up on the jury or Venus, like I don't know what they would do, because I can't predict what they're going to do in the game. It would be hard to predict what they're going to do on the jury as well. So I think it's going to be probably a chaotic final tribal, no matter who ends up there. But I don't know who, like, I'm trying to think like who ideal final three for Maria and Charlie is. That's a hard, I think Ben probably should be with them. But other than that, I'm not really sure who is the best option.
Yeah, because you still got to get there. It's not just about sitting there. You can't Boston Rob and sit next to Natalie and Phillip, who you know you're going to beat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do need to also figure out, how do I get to that point? Because if you're not sitting there, who cares if Venus and Q are sitting there? You're not sitting next
to them. There's many cases where I feel like that happens, where someone, people aren't like looking at super, you know, threatening way, or multiple of them are brought so far. And then that's what ends, who ends up final tribal. So it's like, ultimately, whether this person's on a threat or not, they, if you're a threat, then your spot is being taken. So would you rather be like, you know what, I'm going to fight a little bit against maybe a stronger player, but at least I'm there? Or are you willing to roll the dice and be like, well, if I get there with these two, then I'm 100% winning? Hard choice.
Yeah. It's a hard place.
You also never know if someone's just going to all of a sudden pull the right move at the right time, and then that wins it for them, because that also can happen.
Do you think that can happen for Venus or Q at this point?
I think it's going to be hard for both of them. I think maybe, unfortunately, I love Venus. I think she's like the best, such a great casting. So fun watching her. I love how scrappy she is. But I do think it would be hardest for her, because I think she has people who don't like, maybe like her on a personal level, but also they seem to not like respect what she's doing, which is maybe unfair given her position, but it's how she's being perceived, and the perception is the reality. So if, you know, Hunter and Tevin aren't like respecting Venus's game, then they're probably not going to vote for her. And if her and Soda aren't getting along, she's probably not going to vote for her. I think it would be most hard. Q, I don't know. I think people are maybe feeling like a little spiteful on how he's sort of like ruined stuff for them. But he is like, maybe he would pull something crazy. And if he's with the right group, maybe he could win. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think it's hard. I think both of them have an uphill battle for sure.
And just to kind of tie this into your season one more time, it seemed like with season 45, with your final three, the jury was looking game. Like, that is kind of how it felt. It didn't feel like everybody, it seemed like, got along with Jake, was fine with Jake, but Jake got no votes because his game, he just could not show it off the way that D or Austin could show it off.
Mm-hmm.
I think with season 46, and this is going to piss off the fan base, and I always love when the fan base gets pissed, because I think it's entertaining to see them kind of going at each other over this stuff, but there's going to be different criteria for every member of the jury. Mm-hmm. Hunter might say, I'm only going to vote for the person who did the best in challenges. And that's going to piss off some of the fan base, because they're going to say, well, there's more to the game. But the Hunter, that's all he's worried about. Yeah. And I think right now what's going to be really hard for the people sitting at the final tribal council is you're going to need to figure out what's important to each one of these players, because game is not the only thing that's important to each
one. I think it's going to be very, like I was just saying before, I think it's going to be very complicated to navigate, because I do think for us, our jury was very game focused. And I always felt that way. I was like, well, if I left, it better be someone good who got me out. You know what I mean? And so that always like gave me solace. So it's hard for me to like relate to the other way of viewing this, but this is part of the game, right? Like, this is a huge part of the game, is understanding how, if you can really connect with people and get them to a level of vulnerability that you are in their head and you can think about how they want to be seen. Like, do you need to boost their ego? Do you need to, you know, placate them in some way? Or are they, all they care about is that I was the best player and here's what I did. And this final tribal, they're probably going to have to make sure whatever in all the questions that they weave in, like different bits for every person there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm very excited.
Everybody.
I just hope that we end up in a final three where it feels like at least two of the three could win. I feel like your season was very good for that. 43 was very good for that, where it kind of felt like any of them could pull it out.
Yeah.
I hope that we end up in that scenario where it feels like multiple people can win, because watching them squirm to get this jury's votes, considering too, I mean, you can see from the social media interactions and things like that, there's still a lot of bitterness between some people. And so I think the fact that that is there means that 6 days, 7 days after they're voted out, they're not over it and saying, it's okay, we're buddies now. It's going to be, you better earn this, or I'm going to vote the other way just to spite you.
Yeah. I do think it's going to be emotionally charged. And I think it would be like, it might be harder if you feel like you leave and it was because of like some chaotic ricochet blow up versus, oh, you know what? I got outplayed. So I can like sympathize a little bit, where it might be like a harder pill to swallow than like, oh, you know what? This great person got me out. And if it's something where it's just like all hell breaks loose and somehow you go home, that is harder. And it's harder to get over immediately. You know, I was upset about being blindsided. I was like very upset and it was hard for me, but I don't know. I never felt like it was going to change how I voted at the end, but I had more time. So that's the other thing. Like I had 10 days to relax. And like, as we get towards the end of the game, you're still keeping these emotional chaotic players there. They're going to maybe have a day if they're fourth to come and vote. And that is, yeah, another consideration. So I really am trying to figure out who Charlie should bring. Cause Charlie's kind of my front runner right now.
Okay.
I don't know if it's clear yet.
I don't think it is. And I think that'll be fun when we dive into these power rankings now that we've had three blindsides in a row. I mean, Soda, Tevin, Hunter, none of them knew it was coming. And I got to throw this one up. So like this video, subscribe to the channel. I am Connor said, had notifications for the channel on, but YouTube didn't notify me. What the hell, guys? I mean, your phrase works with everything, Kelly, because
I don't
know.
Very versatile.
Yeah. I don't know why YouTube doesn't do this. It's the same thing. People are now telling me that they get ads during the live plays of our video, which I never happened until this season. And now people aren't getting notifications. YouTube is on its own journey with our channel and there's only so much I can do, or maybe there's a setting I just need to figure out. I have no idea, but anybody who's a YouTube expert, Savant here, let me know.
What the hell, guys? YouTube.
Yeah. What the hell, guys? That's it. I mean, you literally have been in a picture with Parvati this week wearing the What the Hell Guys hat. I mean,
Ben is very committed to the hat. He ordered that during my season before I even really knew him. So very cute. He loves a bucket hat. I don't know. I'm very honored to have all of the promo from Ben.
I'm just shocked. So when you were voted out, and then we'll jump actually into the power rankings, but I feel like this needs to be addressed here because it has been so much fun. When you were voted out, it felt like it was the first time in the new era that somebody was seriously so emotionally, like, it was a raw moment of, I hate you all. I can't believe you just did this to me. What happened? Why did you ruin my dream? I was dominating this game. Like, I felt like it was like the most emotion we'd seen probably since Michaela went home. Yeah, although
everyone always talks about Michaela.
You didn't stomp around and forget your shoes and all that stuff. But still, you had a good reaction. When you said, what the hell, guys, though, this is a phrase that everybody says all the time. Like, this isn't some crazy, unique phrase. And you just said it, and now all of a sudden it's become the thing in this community. Dude,
I don't remember saying it, so I cannot speak to it. None of this was intentional. It was just how I was feeling in the moment. And it wasn't really like anger. It was just sort of like, I think I always talk about how I blacked out. And yes, I was like shocked by the vote, but it was also just like, I was bummed. Like I was really playing hard, wanted to win, thought I was doing decently okay. And, you know, even though I respected the move, like, of course I'm upset. And so I'm never really like, I mean, it's sometimes it's embarrassing to think about, but I stand by the emotion because it's how I felt in the moment. And it didn't affect anything long-term. You know, I voted for who I thought played the best game. So it is what it is. But yeah, what the hell, guys? I say it all the time. Actually, there was a confessional of me earlier in the season. And I think I say, what the hell? Where are, like, I always say that. And I don't know why it's so poignant, but I'll take it.
It's resonating. And like I said, I mean, now Ben with his bucket hat, that's his move. And
he's really repping it hard. It's like glued to his head.
You're going to have to sell what the hell, guys, overalls. That's what's going to have to be next.
I'll make some specially for Ben.
He can wear them to the finale. He can dress up nice. All right. Let's get into these power rankings. Let's start talking about, you know, where we think things are going to shake out after this massive, shouldn't have felt like a blindside. I don't know what's going on. For any of our patrons who are following along, I did not update the scores yet from last week's power rankings. I got them. I'll get everything there for Wednesday night's episode recap. So you guys will have updates. So you know where you're at with about 3 weeks left. We had Hunter with an idol. I ranked him number two last week after only Tiffany because they both had idols. And I said, there's no way they're not on edge after what happened to Tevin. Hunter, the week before, literally an 8-2 vote, two people did not vote for Tevin at that episode. It was Tevin, who is no longer there, and Hunter. Mm-hmm. And yet Hunter still somehow believed these people. So as I'm trying to do these rankings this week, I'm trying to figure out who is the mastermind who is really able to convince pretty good logical players, even if they're not necessarily the best strategic players like Hunter, to not play his idol in one of the most obvious to play idol situations. And whoever is able to pull that kind of stuff off, I think could end up being the winner of this season. So it feels like there's maybe multiple people who have gotten into Hunter's head last week.
Yeah.
But it seemed like Kenzie was a big factor in this. I'm not saying I'm putting Kenzie at one, but Kenzie is climbing my rankings very steadily here.
Yeah, I'm with you. She's had a good growth over the last few episodes from, and she's like went from being someone that was like, oh, she's a giant threat, she's a mastermind, to like kind of not being talked about at all in terms of like a possible vote, which is, and but she's still a good player, logical, and is most of the time, and she was out on this vote actually, but most of the time she's making pretty good decisions for herself. So I could see her to have a good argument and also not have pissed off a lot of people, you know?
Well, you said she was out on this vote, but I do feel like this was a very purposeful 4-4 split because everyone voted for Hunter on the revote except for Liz. So Liz, to me, feels like...
Oh, everyone did? Oh, okay.
Right. She feels like the only one who truly had no idea that Hunter was supposed to be the vote. It feels like Kenzie, Liz... Hunter and Venus all voted for Q, and I feel like Venus and Kenzie knew Hunter was the target, but were trying to keep him as calm as possible. And maybe
just split it so if he plays the idol, Q would definitely go home. And this, because I mean, look, Q voted for wonky vote on Ben, so if they all popped it on Hunter, then Ben would have gone, which is like crazy. Oh,
what is going on with Q's vote for Ben? What's happening?
When I was watching, I was like, did Hunter vote for Ben? Because they kind of put like his little plan there. And I was like, oh, well, if he did that, like hello, and that's not a smart move. And then when I saw Q, I was like, no way. There is no way that Q voted for Ben. I hope we hear his thoughts and logic on why he did that next week, because right now I do not see it. I mean, he's like the other one most likely to go home. And he knew. He said it in the episode. He's like, Hunter and me, or it's going to be one of us. And then he votes for Ben. Oh, I love it.
It was so wild. When I saw that name come up, I thought the same thing you did. I said, oh, man, Hunter screwed himself by not voting for Q. Mm-hmm. He wanted to vote for Ben. He got loyal. And then when it showed up as Q, I'm like, okay, Q actually, for as much as like, you know, Q's been a great character, maybe not the best strategist, but he has voted correctly every time until last week. He could have kept up his perfect voting record. Had he just done that? Is this the real Caleb, you think?
Let me see.
Does that look like the real Caleb to you?
What photo is that?
I don't know.
I can't tell. The sunglasses. Is there someone in the major? Let me see if he texted me.
No. Yeah, we'll have to see. But anyway, this might be Caleb, who was the guest last week. Is there someone in the majority that should have gotten Hunter to use his idol and keep him as a loyal / secret vote?
I do like that. I think like Hunter, as much as he's a huge challenge threat, like is he actually like an end game winning threat? Like right now, probably not. It's a hard call. I'm trying to think who could use it the most. I mean, maybe like Liz, like if she wanted to like make some big move and use Hunter, like that could work out. But because she's also like, I don't think she's going to win a lot of challenges. So it's like whether Hunter's there or not doesn't really like affect her game too much in terms of, oh, if Hunter's not here, I could win something. Or like maybe like Charlie or even Q or people who are like really good at other things could beat him. So maybe Liz, that would be maybe the person, or maybe Venus. But I think like the bridge was too, there's like a zero modicum of trust between Venus and Hunter. So I don't know if that's like a feasible.
Yeah. And I keep talking about how I feel like Charlie had no more use for Hunter because Charlie beat Hunter in the immunity challenge. Mm-hmm. And now he can be the only one who beat Hunter. He just said way too good of a question to be real Caleb. So I have no idea. We get people who are imposters here all the time.
Yeah, that reads like Caleb to me.
We have the imposter of Captain Obvious, who is always in our chat. It's the real picture. We have the real Nicolas Cage who's in here. So I'm sure these are all the real people. All
JD
the time.
Robinson. We will never.
JD is actually real. Real. That actually is real. JD. That one. And when if Bruce shows up, that's the actual Bruce too. We can confirm those. But
where's Bruce?
He's probably at a softball game. That's
probably on his boat, you know?
Yeah, he's either on his boat or at a softball game. I mean, he did the podcast earlier this year from his car watching his daughter play softball.
Oh, man, that tracks. Oh, that's good.
But, all right, so who do you have as your number one safest person this week? When we do our power rankings, we're not saying who do you think is winning the whole thing. It's just who do you think is the safest this week?
So, number one, I have Ben. Even though he got this random vote from Q, otherwise, I feel like this is actually maybe the first episode where I got a little bit more insight into where Ben is in the game. He's clearly close with Kenzie. Him, Maria, and Charlie had a pretty important talk that seemed to sort of like push things towards Hunter at the last minute. And I don't think people are viewing him as a huge threat in any sort of way, whether they should be worried about him or not, like sort of like remains to be seen. But he's like not really super in the limelight. Everybody likes him. And then he might be someone that you would be like, oh, he's probably like a chaotic player, but he's actually not. He's been pretty like, I don't know. He's been fairly logical to do what makes sense for him. And now you've got people like Hugh and Venus who are so chaotic. So I think he's like, I don't know why anyone would target Ben. And I think he's definitely viewed as somebody who is important to get the numbers for votes, whether it's Maria and Charlie, whether it's Kenzie wanting to drive something. So I think he's pretty safe for probably a few rounds. We'll see.
Yeah, and what's fun with Ben is he's being viewed as a little more chaotic, but I think what Ben is doing is he's just playing so low. Mm-hmm. He's so willing to let other people take the chances and make the moves and do all of that. And maybe it's a strategy that's going to bite him in the ass later, but I feel like he's trying to play the Fabio game. We've only seen the Fabio game win once, and it was when Fabio won. But that's what it seems like he's trying to play here. I feel like Ben does have a good social and strategic mind. But I think he'd rather just focus on the social of it and not let himself be voted out for strategic reasons. So,
I mean, we're talking like, you know, earlier about, sometimes the meta of the early new era seasons is making your move way towards the end. And that's something that like Erica and Marianne did. Like Ben, like, you know, he could have a breakout episode a little bit and gain some control, especially if you have big heavy hitters like Tiffany or Charlie leave. And then there's like a power vacuum or whatever, like maybe he can step into that role at a time where his threat level gets high only way towards the end of the game, which is kind of what you want. But this is a risk. It is always a risk in terms of like that everybody's trying to like claim moves and blah, blah, blah. You have to make sure when you get to Final Tribal that people are going to respect you and listen to you and think you played. And so he can't pull this. He can't do this forever and win, but I think he's very safe right now.
Yeah, and just to point this out, I don't know, Kelly, how much you look at this stuff, but I can't help myself. And I like looking at confessionals throughout the season. Okay. And so right now, Q has the most, which is no surprise.
Yeah.
Kenzie is second. Charlie is third. Tiffany is fourth. Venus is fifth. However, Charlie, Kenzie, Q, Tiffany, and Ben are the only players to have a confessional in every episode thus far. So Ben getting in there with a confessional every episode, but averaging like half of what Q and Kenzie are averaging. Are they trying to make sure they're giving us enough Ben throughout this season so that when he wins, we say, okay, kind of like what they did with Gabler? Do you think I'm reading too far into that? Because it's weird that he has a confessional every episode when his tribe won a lot early. Strategic stuff that much. What do you think?
That, I don't know. I find this hard. And I think this season it might even be harder because like the pre-merge was so lopsided towards Yanu, not just because of losing, but also just like how things were. Whereas like, you know, I mean, I got a confessional every episode, even when we were winning, and that wasn't, it didn't mean anything for me long-term. But you know, I think it is notable when you have someone who's always checked in on and like their pulse on what's happening is always seen. It's like you always know where their head's at. That to me might signal a long-term game, because otherwise if it's like if your opinion is ultimately not really going to matter in the vote or matter in the end, then they just won't include it. So I don't like to get too meta on the confessionals, but I do think that might show good like longevity for Ben. And I don't know how was Gabler's edit? Was that similar?
Here, let me pull it up real quick because I feel like it's relevant. Gabler had a confessional in every episode from what I remember.
Is it very often that people don't have confessionals in an episode?
In the 60 minute episodes, yes. Yeah. In the 90 minute episodes, It's different. But yeah, Gabler had a confessional in every episode, and his tribe only went to one pre-merge tribal council, and yet they gave him
a confessional. He felt like a big character.
What was that?
He felt like a big character, even though they weren't going that often. Like, I was always aware of Gabler.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, let's look at your season real quick, since you, as you mentioned, you had a confessional in every episode. I mean, that's,
but I think, you know, most people did not have any zero. Like, we didn't have a lot of times where people got zero.
Yeah, Bruce, Kendra, Sifu, Jamaya, Brando. Yeah, but everybody in your final seven had a confessional
every time. Yeah, so that makes sense then. Probably at least for the late merge run. Yeah, I would probably endorse that.
There you go. Well, I'm going to put Maria at number one. And
yes,
I'd been getting very comfortable putting Tiffany or Hunter at number one. And then Hunter just totally, I'm just turned around backwards right now. I have no idea what to believe. And with Kenzie discussing voting out Tiffany and being willing to vote out Tiffany and saying that to other people, I can't just put Tiffany with her idol at number one anymore. I could see her getting blindsided with that idol. So I'm going to go Maria. I don't feel like Maria's on many people's radars to win right now, who are playing out there. I feel like they would see Charlie as the bigger threat if they wanted to go that route. Yep. Maybe Maria overplays her hand to try to get some credit from the remaining players, but I have Maria safe and sound and looking good. And if she's willing to work with Venus, I don't see Venus or Kenzie or Tiffany saying it's got to be Maria. If they're going to keep voting the way that they've been voting, they're going to go after Q, they're going to go after Ben, they're going to go after Charlie. Or they all have an easy vote and they try to vote out a Liz or a Venus. But I don't see Maria being somebody that comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I am a big fan of Maria's game. We're going to like disagree a little here for my number two. I have Charlie number two. Okay. I am pretty high on Charlie's game. Maybe I'm a little biased because I love the middle strategy. But to me, like, even though Charlie's won this immunity and he did pretty good, I think people should be, but I do not think they have fully clocked how much of a threat he is. And he's one of the only people who I think constantly plays fairly logically. And for me, and I think other players like maybe Kenzie or Ben, or even Maria, like, they need to keep people like this here in order to move forward through the game. And I made this point earlier, like, Charlie and Maria have still managed to be the middle of this new merge thing, even though they came in a majority, even though Yanu probably should have been. So I'm very impressed by that across the board. I think Charlie will probably eventually become a little bit of a threat and he needs to worry about that. But I think right now, I think he's going to be okay. So I don't know. I put him above Maria, and we'll talk about this when I get to Maria, just because I'm worried about Maria wanting to work with Q. That is what dropped me for her.
If you were to ask me who do I think is going to win, it used to be Maria. Now I'm on Team Charlie. I think Charlie has the edge over Maria to actually win the whole game. Mm-hmm. But I think on a week-to-week basis, Maria is probably just a little bit safer. Because now what I'm concerned about with Charlie is he just beat Hunter, and Hunter just got voted out. So now does that turn any attention to Charlie? Are the women, where now the women outnumber the men 5-3, are the women going to turn around and say, you know what? Charlie should be who we're going for, because Charlie is the best physical competitor out here. Q really hasn't done much in challenges. That's and then true. Ben really hasn't done much either. So would they say, let's get rid of Charlie and let's get him out of the game? I think Maria would try to stop that.
Yeah, I do too. Maybe at a certain point she would turn in, but I do think she would try to stop it. Yeah, this will be interesting. I don't know. I have a good feeling about Charlie, but yeah, probably Maria is maybe a little safer on a day to day, but I'm very concerned. I don't know. The working with chaos makes me nervous.
Yeah. Our second most popular TikTok right now is just Jake saying he's picking Charlie because they're both from the same area of Boston. So at least you're giving a little bit more logic to your Charlie love than that. So
there's Charlie is like walking a good line of like people like him, but he's not the most likable. People respect him, but he's not out in front as the overly strategic person. He can win challenges, but you know, he's not being viewed like a Hunter or even Q, who hasn't won anything, but still looks like this physical presence. So being in that, like finding that sweet spot in all those ways, I think, especially with a jury like this, it could, you know, it could give him an edge if he can get there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But getting there is always the tricky part. Right. Okay. I'm going to put Kenzie at two, and I am starting to wonder, based on the little pieces here and there that we're seeing from Kenzie, has Kenzie been the obvious winner the entire season? And we all just didn't see it because Yanou was such a disaster early. Q's talking to Tiff, very similarly to Danny and Deshaun, talking about getting rid of Erica way back in season 41 of, we got to lose this challenge so we can get rid of. You know, and so Q and Tiffany talking about potentially that, you know, he wants to work with Banu to get rid of Kenzie, and then Randon ends up getting medevac. So Kenzie doesn't even realize she's still alive, setting up potentially this overcoming something trajectory for Kenzie, which does not seem true at all. It seems like she's been playing a pretty confident
game. Yeah.
And her willingness to throw Tiffany's name out last week. And some people would say, well, this could get her in trouble this week because she's saying it to too many people. And then they start talking about it.
I think that's,
and that seems like that's that you're pointing. I feel like you could be thinking that way, but nobody mentioned it last week before tribal.
Yeah.
So the fact that that word never got back to Tiff tells me that almost every single person on that island wants to work with Kenzie more than they want to work with Tiff.
I fully agree with that. Yeah. I think Kenzie's in an amazing spot. Kenzie's my next person.
Okay. So she's your number
one. I don't
three.
Fully disagree with you. I do think there is a slight possibility that, you know, if Tiffany gets wind of this plan, it's a problem, right? Because Tiffany has an idol. She can play the idol, and then, you know, Kenzie can get votes and she could go home. But I think, kind of like Ben, like Kenzie is like an integral number for so many people's plans because we're whittling down here. There's not rock solid alliances. And this is somebody who's been shown that they can talk to anybody. Like, she is definitely, even though she was like, well, a little overplaying it, maybe you could argue in the beginning of Yanou, I would say, she has reined it in. I will give her credit. So I think that she is now using her like social skills and social capital to her benefit instead of to her detriment, which is great. That you need, if you have someone who can like learn something like that throughout the season, then also that might be a good sign edit wise, like you're saying. But if we remove the meta of all that crap, one thing I liked from Kenzie this week that also made me be like, was that she got a confessional about how she wanted to vote Tiff, blah, blah, blah. But she saw the tide was going to Hunter. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to let it happen. And sometimes you do need to show a little restraint to maintain your position in the tribe and not push too hard for somebody. It was a little risky. I think it was a little risky to go for Tiff so soon. I get what she's saying, right? She's doing the same thing, differentiating her game from somebody, blah, blah, blah. The idol is nerve-wracking, etc. But yeah, I thought that was like it's like a sort of a throwaway confessional when you think about it, like in terms of like the entertainment value of the show. But that for me showed that she was thinking, you know, very logically and willing, also doing the thing where she's willing to not have to be the driver all the time, which is very hard to do and win. So
and
she'll be fine though. I think she'll make it through the next vote or two at least.
Yeah, we'll get to Tiff in a second here, but with Kenzie too. We know that Kenzie has Ben, right? She is close with Ben. Hunter was telling Kenzie last week, you're the only one I trust 100%. You're my number one.
He said, you're my number one. When he said that, I was shocked. So I'm like, wow.
What did that remind you of, Kelly? What did that remind you of? We know what that reminded you of. We know what that reminded you of. But anyway, I mean, but that's very telling, right? That's telling you something because you, I know I make jokes. I love Bruce so much, but Bruce is saying, Kelly, you're my number one. Kelly, you're my number one. Kelly, you're my number one.
Yeah.
You didn't necessarily feel that way, but it says something about the way you were playing that you made Bruce feel that way. Mm-hmm. Kenzie makes Hunter feel that way, even though Kenzie's sitting there going, yeah, sure, Hunter, whatever. I'm ready to get ready.
Yeah. And also like they have less of a relationship than me and Bruce have. I mean, Bruce and I have been since day one, basically, you know, at least on a tribe together. Hunter and Kenzie like just met like that. I was like, damn, Kenzie's got some like fairy dust she's sprinkling on these people. And they're just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Tiff does not realize Kenzie's coming from her for her. Ben is doing his thing. Hunter felt that way. I mean, Hunter's gone, so that doesn't matter. Venus and Kenzie, they were the two that were telling Hunter, no, Hunter, you're good. You're good. You're good. Mm-hmm. So there's something going on between the two of them too, which is that's.
I think Kenzie actually has a working relationship with every single person, maybe besides Q, who she's so angry with. But yeah, that's certainly, yeah, very powerful stuff.
And Tiffany, I'm not seeing that same stuff from right now. So I do actually have Tiffany as my number three. because she has her idol, mm-hmm. because, you know, I still think that there could be some easy boots coming up, or, you know, this could be the week after a chaotic Hunter tribal after Tevin goes home. Maybe this is a week everybody just agrees and says either Venus or Q, mm-hmm. let's get rid mm-hmm. of one of them. But I do not see, and I'm sure Tiffany's done it. That's what's funny. But I am not seeing Tiffany's relationships the way I am currently seeing Kenzie's. And that's why I put Kenzie without an idol over Tiffany with an idol, because Tiffany has not talked about getting rid of Kenzie. Mm-hmm. Kenzie has talked about getting rid of Tiffany.
And no one's really talked about getting rid of Kenzie, period, ever.
Yeah. With the exception of Q early on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the merge portion of the game, which mm-hmm. I kind of thought coming in that maybe she would be. Like, there was potential that Q or Tiff would throw her under the bus, because that was sort of the vibe of the pre-merge Yanu, and that they were like, well, we're going to stick together, and if anything, we'll just throw Kenzie under the bus and let us keep going. And that has been like complete opposite for her. So I think Tiffany just has like, and this is like kind of saying this before, like some people like just like she's like she's so strong, like her presence is very felt. Like I think like she just looks like more of a threat to people to win the game, especially because she has an idol. And she looks like Kenzie's not performing great in challenges. I feel like Tiff has always been pretty solid. So she just has a couple more like obvious ticks against her in terms of just like what people, when people look at, you know, how is Tiffany playing the game, blah, blah, blah. She has this idol. She's, you know, I don't know. Like she just screams threat more than Kenzie, which is makes it harder. It does make it harder to get to the end, you know, when you have that going on. And now everybody knows she has an idol, which is just.
Everybody knows, exactly. And she was talking about potentially burning it last week just for the sake of burning it. I could see that for sure happening this week now. Now you're mm-hmm. getting down to final eight. Maybe she wins immunity, then she'll do that at final seven. But I don't think that this idol is helping her as much as it's hurting. And you were talking about the look, right? And I think that this is worth pointing out, because Jeff said with 41, drop the four, keep the one, we're starting over.
Yeah.
In the first eight seasons of Survivor, there were five female winners, right? The only male winners were Richard, Ethan, and Brian Heidick, because then mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, those were all female winners. Uh-huh. Tina wins and Vesepia wins. So there's 5-3.
Yeah.
In the new era, we're seeing female winners maybe at a higher rate than the male mm-hmm. winners after a really long stretch of a lot of male winners.
A lot of male winners, yeah.
But you were even just saying now amongst the women, there's certain ones who look a little bit more athletic, a little bit stronger, this, that, whatever. Erica, Marianne, D. I am taller than all of them by a lot.
And I know, but D is a powerhouse.
Well, I know, yeah. I know. But what I'm trying to make more of the point of is, I think in this new era is you got to really throw out so much of that stuff if you're going to play in a new season. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying, I'm saying you're right, because I think people are looking at Tiff as a bigger threat than Kenzie right now, just from like the way she maybe carries.
I feel like it's also like her personality, yeah. like and how she approaches game conversations and stuff. Which, you know, is not like necessarily a detriment to her. Like, you can't change who you are. Mm-hmm. And I like that she, you know, she's just like, I think if you have a conversation with Tiff about strategy, you know that she's good at playing Survivor.
Yeah.
And probably you might know that about Kenzie too, but I think it's more obvious with Tiffany, which sucks. Ugh.
Yeah. And I'll be here to piss off the entire internet now. If I play Survivor and there is a woman on my tribe that's like 5'5" and unassuming, I'm going to be like, there's something. You're going to win this game. I'm scared of you right now. I'm so scared of you. Because we're seeing that if Kenzie wins, think about that. We have Kenzie, Marianne, Erica, and D. And I think mm-hmm. D out of those four is definitely the most like obvious. I mean, D was my preseason winner pick.
She's sort of like a classic person who would win Survivor, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I just think like all of a sudden you're starting to see like, don't be judging these books by their covers. You know, that's really
yeah, what I think that's in the whole new era, though. I mean, like Gabler yeah. surprised everybody. I think a stereotypical winner is like sort of out the window. And now there's like so many reasons to be threatened by different people. Right. And like I came in being so concerned about like all the women going out early on season 44. And so I think every like whatever season happens before does influence people's like psyche in the next round. So, you know, it'll be interesting because this 46 just saw two men win, right? They just saw Gabler and Jam Jam win. So, you know, it's hard to say how that's going to like affect them. But I just want to say like, I have Tiffany a little lower this week, but she's been my favorite player to watch the whole time. Like I love watching her, and I think her strategy is so sound, and she's kind of gotten into this. It's like what happens sometimes when a good player ends up playing with some chaotic people, like they can drag you down without you even, before you even know it. And it's like, it's kind of not her fault because of how the cookie crumbles. Like there is an element of luck in Survivor. And I think unfortunately she didn't have it on her side here. Ugh, it's such a bummer, but
you're already writing her obituary. She's still
no, I'm not. I just don't think she can, I don't think she can like win anymore.
Yeah.
It's sad because I thought I really was so high on her pre-merge. I think she could still make a good run. I mean, she's got an idol, she has agency, but if she plays the idol and saves herself and gets a target out, then she's gonna be even bigger threat. But you know, then if she can get to the end, she'll win.
Yeah, we're not seeing the relationships to the level that we're seeing from some of the other players out there. And I just have to point out one thing that you just said. We won't talk season 50, but now to just bring up season 47 and 48. If you're most concerned about with what you just saw, oh my God, are those two seasons about to be pure chaos? Because what they are witnessing before they go play is season 46. And I'm pretty sure 47 is not even going to see the end of 46. So all they're going to have in their head is the Q skirt and the Hunter boot and like the Tevin. Like they're going to have all this chaos.
I don't know. And that could also be a reverse reaction, right? Where people go out there and be like, if somebody is giving me chaotic vibes, I'm gone. Because I can't. You know, so I think that actually happens a lot too, where if you have a season that's like really crazy, reverse happens when someone goes out there because they're just like, okay, I don't want to get caught in this storm myself. And so, yeah, maybe we'll see like more of a, okay, here come like the Tony Lyons hyena strategy sort of come up more.
I like that. We never, 47 and 48, it's going to be fun to see how 46 influences them because this could be setting off a new era of Survivor. It's also going to be interesting to see how it affects casting. Are we going to see more Q's and Venus on our screens?
Yeah.
We haven't seen those people in the first five seasons.
That's true. And they've been very, very fun to watch, very popular and everything. But I think if I was going out after watching this, I would be so stressed.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, because I'm making the joke of like, oh, any unassuming, like 5'5", well, I got to vote them out. But it's like, I really am sitting there saying, okay, who is the Q on this season? If I'm going out there, who is the Venus? Who is the person that I am not going to be able to see what they're going to do 5 minutes from now, because they are just not thinking the way that I would think.
I think that's hard to like pinpoint
based
on a certain look or a certain, because look at Venus and Q are extremely different people from different backgrounds, different types of players, different genders. So it's like that's going to be a task for people who go out to play. It's not one, you can't look at like, oh, here's the Aussie guy. He has to go. Like the game is no longer that simple and everyone's aware of it. So then you get like this on top of this, on top of this. And everyone's trying to like think one step ahead of each other. So it's like, well, everybody's afraid of this Kenzie character. I'm not going to be afraid of them. And then you get yourself into like, a wheel
disaster.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Well, I think that's what happened to poor Hunter last week. He out-meta'd himself. He was thinking, he thought so meta about how other people were thinking and what they would tell him and that he confused himself and he overplayed and he overdid this and he just confused himself to the point where he went home. And if this is the new meta game, I'm okay with it because the meta game has become not game bot. It's become, oh my God, I've overthought this to the point of what is real. You know, you say a word enough times, it doesn't sound like a real word anymore. That's pretty much what Survivor became last week.
Yeah, but you never know. You never know how the vibe of the season is going to be. Hard to predict. Where are we on the rankings?
On number four. We've done our first three. The four and five will, you know, six, seven, eight will be quick because we're just going to be, Kelly, go ahead. But who's your four?
My four is Maria. I still feel good about her overall. I think she's playing great, like very restrained, in a good spot. No one's really looking at her. But I am super concerned with her next time on Survivor Confessional. Just because I've had so much fun watching Q, but he's such a chaotic, unpredictable person. I think the Ben vote for me really like put that. I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't even know what he's going to do. And so I would be worried if Maria, in trying to differentiate herself, puts too much stock in the Q basket that she's just going to end up on the bottom when she would have never been there in the first place. And so that was why I put her below like Kenzie and Charlie. It was just because I think she's doing something riskier. Now it could pay off. It could put her in a great spot. It could remove people who have higher winner equity than her. But yeah, that was what gave me a little pause. Cause like, what if everybody wants to target Q or people know that Q is now working with Maria, and then they, you know, blindside Maria instead of Q because Q's not the threat. Maria's the threat. Again, this is going down a few rabbit holes, but I think that it's always a little dangerous to associate yourself with him just because of the unpredictability, not because he's on the bottom. I think picking up people on the bottom is like a great strategy, but it might a little too risky. I still think she's going to be all right, but that was what dropped her below Kenzie and Charlie for me.
No, I like that. And also I could see, like, I know you've done some podcasts this season. You've done Rob, you've done Gordon, mm-hmm. all that right there where you just started like going down this rabbit hole of like, I realize I'm just saying every possibility. It's like the Kelly podcaster is really starting to come out big time here with the explanations of, no, I swear this makes sense, but I have to go on a journey.
Yeah, I am now doing the meta thing that we were talking about. But there's no stakes here, so I can do it.
You can do it. But hey, that's like what this whole thing is, right? Everybody was like, I remember I put out my predictions video for the boot order of this season. People were like, oh my God, you're spoiled, like whatever. And I was like, no, like I'm just literally just randomly saying names and pretending there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. I had Tevin and Hunter both in the final three. How did that go for me? So here we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did think they were, I had very high hopes for Tevin, actually. I thought he was going to make a deep run.
No, especially he had that confessional at the beginning of the season. That was just so epic.
You know, you're too into the meta of the edit now.
I am. I've been doing this since season 30. And I had Albert on from South Pacific last year to do a recap with me or something. And we were just like, yeah, Kelly won. Like, it's already over. I don't even know why we're still discussing it. It's Kelly. She's getting the edit. She's getting the, yeah. It seemed, it was between you and
I thought you didn't think I was going to win, if I remember.
It was a little bit earlier in it, and we were like, wow, she's getting a great edit. They keep winning. Is she the Michelle Fitzgerald? And then you went home at 10. And now,
yeah, such a bummer. At least you got the hat,
right?
I got the line, you know.
You got the line. You got the line, and you put Bennett one with the bucket.
I'm very grateful for my edit, so yeah.
No, you got – I mean, you did get a great one. And I think Tevin, too, as a fellow 10th place member. Like, Tevin got a pretty darn good edit, so mm-hmm. – At my four, I'm struggling between if I want to go Ben, Charlie, or Venus. These are like the next three on my list. Mm. I think I'm going to go Charlie. And again, a little meta here with the edit, but I feel like Charlie too is, I know he had immunity last week, which is why nobody's bringing up his name, but I feel like he does have protection. I feel like Maria is great protection. I feel like I don't know if Q's saying, oh, Charlie's got to be the one. I feel like Q is so.
No, he hasn't come for her at all. Yeah.
No. So I kind of like where Charlie's at, so I'll put him at four, and then I'll just say I'll put Ben at five. Mm-hmm. But I've been wanting to put Ben at number one all season long, and I just feel like his name is always coming up in the most random ways. Like last week, Yeah, it was, oh, we're going to vote out Tiff. Let's blindside Tiff, or you know, we can vote out Hunter, and then Hunter's talking about his idol, and it was like, you know what? I want to go after Ben. And I was like, why do you want to go after Ben? What did Ben do to you?
I felt like, but that was like, honestly, from Hunter, who is not in the game anymore. And I think he was just saying, I have no relationship with Ben. And that, to me, besides maybe Q, I mean, we don't have any knowledge on Ben's relationship with Liz or Venus, but I don't think either of them are like jumping to get Ben either. So like how much of a problem he really has, like, we'll see. But I think he's in a pretty good spot.
Who was in the shenanigans picture? Do you remember? This is
good. Oh my God. I love this. That was my favorite line of that episode. That was crap.
He was actually in that picture, Tevin's gone, but it was Kenzie, Tiffany, and Liz that are all looking at him as he's saying, I don't care for the shenanigans. maybe Liz and him have a little something. I don't know where Liz is at with anybody, really. That's the hard
one. Yeah, Liz is a hard one to read right now, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you do your five and six?
Okay. Five. Speak of the devil, I have Liz. Okay. Even though she's got a lot of explosiveness going on in this next time on Survivor, I would be surprised for people to be like, Liz has to go right now. Mm-hmm. This is a spot, like eight tends to be like a big player. It's like one of the last times when you have like a lot of people before it gets too late when you're worried. So I think Liz would be completely out of left field. And the only way she would go home is maybe if there's an idol play and she gets some sort of stray vote from somebody. So I think that I get her concern about wanting to make a move and things like that. And that's why I dropped her a little bit than I've had her in the past, just because she's starting to get too itchy to play. And I'm worried she might take an unnecessary risk, but I don't think that she's in any like real true danger right now. So.
Yeah, Liz is somebody who I could have put as high as 2 here. I could have put it at 8. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. she has the highest floor, lowest ceiling, because yeah. it just feels like Liz, every time it seems like she's making her move, it somehow gets put down. And the fact that she was the only one left out last week concerns me. The fact that she's screaming at everybody concerns me. I know that this could be an emotional reaction to food and stuff like that, but you've been out there, and like, if somebody has that little bit of reaction, there's so little time in between these votes. Mm-hmm. That could be all it takes to say, you know what? Yeah. Enough of players.
It's true. But this cast has shown that they're willing to keep the players who do stuff like that. So, you know,
Liz should be my number one. Maybe I messed up.
No, I mean, but I would usually say the same thing, where it's like something like that can be a big problem. But I think if she's upset about food, it won't like cause that much problem, unless she like really is like blown up at people and it's like, I'm gonna vote you out because you didn't bring me on the reward or something. Start like that
dumping rice all
well she the- could I mean it does seem she's hangry too, so that hangrier than your average Survivor player. So that
yeah, she good. Is. She is. That's because with her billionaire appetite, she doesn't.
I do feel bad for her. Oh my gosh.
With the billionaire stuff?
Not the billionaire stuff.
You feel bad?
The allergies, the life-threatening food allergies, that stuff.
Oh yeah, no, that's especially when you're in that situation. I'm honestly a little surprised that she was able to get cast with being able to eat so little. Like, there had to have been a serious.
I feel allergy. Like coconut is like literally such an essential food. Like,
especially and she can't eat fish, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. She has a lot of allergies. I can't really keep track.
I know.
Yeah, she didn't eat the fish, right?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Sorry, Liz. I know. We can go over your medical records.
Yeah, please. Liz, after this season, you know, we try to do tell-all sometimes, but instead we're just going to do Liz discussing all of her different food allergies. That's what we're going to do. So that's going to be good. Okay, and then who do you have after Liz? Who's your number 6?
Okay, so I have Tiffany at 6, and I tried to like kind of hedge my bets putting her here. I'm worried about Tiffany, as I've kind of expressed through this podcast so far. Like, I'm such a huge fan of her game, but like, I think that's like why I'm nervous, because I think she's playing so well, and I think people are starting to see it, and she has this idol. But I think she will play it if she knows she's gonna go home. I think she will. The way she talked about her idol last week, I thought was really smart. Like, she knew it would come back into the game. Like, there's a risk there of like, do I want Q to then find the idol if I play it? Like, that is a legitimate concern. And she got to keep it when she didn't need to go home. So I'm very impressed with that. But I think she might know she's in enough of a bad spot that she should play it. And so she probably is okay. But in the off chance that she basically has the same type of moment as Hunter, and this could be, you know, I could see someone like maybe this is the time where Kenzie's like, all right, I'm going to jump now. Because she fully trusts Kenzie still and had no, you know, like wind of that plan. So yeah. I think that, yeah, it could be bad for her. So I'm a little worried she won't play it, but I think she will. So I put her at 6. And then I think somebody else, the other two that I have below, will end up going. And like you said, I think we are maybe kind of due for one of these like sort of like chaotic players to leave the game. I think like one of the, like the Kenzies, the Charlies and Bens, like they might be growing a little weary of so much unpredictability. Especially as they get towards like looking towards the end of the game. So I think that's like one of the Venus or Q like easily could go this week if Tiffany plays the idol.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to talk about advantages on this season, Maria got an extra vote and she burned it pointlessly because everybody knew about it and she didn't want to take it into the merch. She wanted to get rid of it as soon as she could, which I thought was a good move. Yeah. Tevin went home with an extra vote. Jem went home with an idol. Hunter went home with an idol. Advantages aren't really advantages at this point because people, again, going into the meta, which is what we've talked about a lot on this season, people are overthinking it. They're not sure when to play it anymore. It's become a lot more difficult than it was back in season 17, 18, 19.
I wonder, like, it's like, you know, people talk about wanting to make a move with an idol, which I think is fair, like absolutely fair. But it's like, if people know about it, or even if they don't, like the longer you hold on to it, like it's a risky thing. And also, if you do this big move, like I'll get a Wentworth does not count moment, that's great. It saves you another day. Mm-hmm. But then you're probably still going to go home. It's like shot in the dark with Caleb. Like, yeah, he's safe. But then boom, he went right. He still left right away because he was still this big target, blah, blah, blah. So I wonder, like, should you just be trying to use your idol sooner to do something versus saving it just in case you become this huge threat? Like, can you even really overcome that after saving yourself with an idol? I don't know. I was just thinking about this on the fly. It's kind of a hard call, but, and we'll see what Tiffany thinks, because now she's presumably at least watch Hunter and Tevin go home with advantages in their pocket. So does she do the same thing, or is she like, you know what? I'm not going to be this person. I'm going to play it. I'd rather just play it and then not, because it's hard though, because you feel like you look silly on TV either way. You know, having an idol, it's like great, but it's like you're thinking like, I'm going to look dumb if I played it and I didn't even need to. Just as much as if I go home and I kept it, you know.
I'd rather look silly and stay in the game than look silly and be on my way out, you know. And I think, especially in the new era, they're going to rehide Hunter's idol now. I mean, they're going, right? There's going to be an idol that is out there that people, although they never hid gems.
I don't know if they will, actually. Is there a merge idol, like?
Yeah, there hasn't been, actually. So maybe they won't. I mean, maybe they've kind of gotten to this point of not hiding them as much. But if you're playing the odds and I have an idol, I'd probably play my idol and hope that there'd be another one that I could then go find afterwards.
I think the first time an idol is played, they will replant it. But I don't think, because Hunter left with one, it would be like Tiffany still has one. So I think if like anyone plays the idol, then it gets back in. That's sort of how, I think that's how it went for us. I could be wrong. Sorry. But yeah. I think that's what they did for 45.
And we talk advantage getting a lot, you know, like that was kind of what was happening at the end of the 30s into the 40s. But I mean, three idols on one season really is not that many. We've had Jem, she went home with it. It was never rehidden. We had Hunter, he went home with it. We don't know if it's going to be rehidden. Yeah, we'll see. And then Tiffany has it. I mean, really, even if they hide another one, that's four idols in the season. That's not crazy. That's not.
Yeah, and the journeys, like, you know, like Hunter and Ben, like a lot of people weren't able to successfully complete the journeys in order to get the advantages. So it just hasn't, besides Maria, that first episode.
Can I ask you, and just like, this will either build you up or knock you down for all the fans out there.
Amulet. You're going to talk about the freaking amulet?
No, I'm not. I want to ask you, would you have been able to do Hunter's puzzle at the journey?
Oh, okay. This was the week that I did Rob. So what I did was I wrote every season in order that I could think of. A few I could not do, but it was only like three or four. But I think I would have a pretty good shot, honestly. I think that that challenge is less about being a huge Survivor fan and more about having a really good memory, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a good memory. Like, I'm not trying to say like Brandon Dolan's gonna win this challenge, you know, Drew, Jake, like slam dunk, they got it. Mm-hmm. For me, I think maybe it's like a 75% chance I get it.
Okay. So you had a better chance.
If I had an obscure season, like the ones I couldn't think of was like Thailand or like whatever.
And I think they had Marquesas and Thailand both in there.
Marquesas I know is four, but Thailand would have been what got me. Everything else I think I definitely know all the 30s and like the or 20s, but like, yeah, that would have been tough for me. And the early 20s, that's my other weak spot.
Yeah. So. Well, that's a good spot to have be your weak spot, because it sucks. But that'll be my way to plug before we finish out these power rankings, which we can do in like the next 10 minutes here. But I will plug our Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're doing Every Season Matters for our top tier patrons, where we do two episodes a week for 4 weeks on each season. So we did season one, season two, season three, season four. That means we're into Thailand. And oh boy, is that a miserable conversation to have. So we have been talking about Thailand. We've done two episodes so far. We have three more weeks left of Thailand. Then we get into Amazon, which will be exciting. But if you want to hear a podcast talk about Thailand, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're probably the only place on the internet that is doing a deep dive into Thailand. So even if you don't love the season, I feel like it's a fun conversation. And Will had the line of, we call this series Every Season Matters. Not every season is good, and there is a reason for that, and it is pretty much Thailand. So jump on in and hear that conversation, because Kelly didn't know Thailand was five. All right. I'm going to kill my power rankings, and I'll turn it over to you and let you finish it out. At six, I am going to go Venus. I was saying on my recap last week, I was podcasting with Blake because Will was out, and we were talking about, you know, what would be your big bet for this season? If somebody gave you $1 million and said you can only bet on one thing for the remainder of the season, what would it be? And it can't be like that Venus isn't going to win. That's, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's got to be something reasonable. And mine was I would bet that Venus is going to make final three. because it seems like she's an easy one to beat. It seems like everybody can just look over at the jury, see that the first three people are never going to vote for her in any circumstance and say, okay, now I can sit next to Venus. All I need is one more vote and I win the game, or at least force a tie. And then hopefully I'm close with third place, whatever. But then the more I think about it, I say, but if we get into Q wins immunity, Tiffany's going to play her idol. Kenzie's not on a radar. Charlie's not on a radar. Maria's not on a radar. They go to Venus and say, let's vote out maybe Ben. And Venus says, no, I don't want to vote out Ben. That's stupid. Let's vote out Charlie. And then they all say, you know what, Venus, we're just going to vote you out. So there's still scenarios for Venus to go. I have Liz at seven. I love Liz. I think Liz is super entertaining. I love how hard she leans into it on social media in such a fun way. I think it's been very good. I am excited for her blow up here. We need a good blow up every now and then. And Liz is a good person to have it. And until he's gone, I'm putting Q at the bottom. I put him at the bottom last week. I put him at the bottom the week before. I understand that he is an easy person right now, probably to beat at final three. But do you want to try to navigate this game with Q? My answer is no. If I was playing, I wouldn't want to try to figure out how to navigate the unpredictability of Q. So I'm going to put Liz at seven and I'll put Q at eight. And then you only have Venus and Q left. So I'm excited to see what you're
doing. I have Venus at seven. Okay. I think the person who benefited most from Q's thing is Venus. Because now I think she went from being the most chaotic player out there that could just at some point people be like, you know what? We don't want to do this anymore. Now she's not. And she's sort of like the last vote. I feel like she's feeling very safe. She's feeling very comfortable, which is maybe a little dangerous that she's feeling that way. But yeah, I just think that she's always going to be someone that, like, if a few idols come out, if the wrong person wins immunity, she's just someone that's whose name is going to get thrown out. And it almost reminds me of like when I would talk about like Mergatory, it's like, who is defending this person? Like, who's going to bat for them and being like, you know what? No, not right now. And I don't know if Venus has that person yet. She could be. She's someone who could really get scooped up in the right scenario and make it very far. I could see that. But I have a hard time putting her high because I just don't know how much agency she actually has over her own fate in these things. And sometimes it feels like stuff, as much as she's saying, like sometimes things are happening around her, which is, you know, it can always just come back to bite you. But I think that for me, Q, you know, he's going to be at the bottom for me for that. Cause I just think it's really, really hard to imagine that these players like Charlie and Tiffany and Mackenzie are willing to continue long-term with him, even though he can be beaten at the end. I think they see Venus in a similar way, potentially Ben in a similar way. So like there's not a need for Q as much as like, it could be, you know, someone who's on the bottom. Typically, there's other options of I can bring this person far maybe and I can still probably beat them and not have to deal with the max chaos level. And there's also just so much luck in Survivor baseline. So many things out of your control. One of the only things you can control is your relationships with people or people themselves, ideally. And Q is like kind of uncontrollable at this moment, you know?
Yeah. He is. And Venus is a little bit more controllable because Venus might seem chaotic, but Venus is making what she feels.
Venus understands the game for sure. Yeah. You know, like sometimes the execution is not flawless. But I think that she knows who needs to go and what needs to be done and how she can, you know, push herself farther. So I think she has. Yeah, agreed.
Somebody tweeted out, and again, what's fun with X now is because of whatever algorithm it's been changed to, you literally just get random things that like you don't follow all the time. I follow Survivor News, so anybody who tweets Survivor, they'll have one like and like one retweet, and somehow I get it. So I don't know who posts half this shit, but this one tweet said something along the lines of like, Venus is playing a Russell Hantz level of jury management right now. And there was a lot of responses to it that were like, no, that's a little exaggeration. That's an exaggeration.
I think it's a little exaggeration.
A little bit of an exaggeration, but we talked about it. There's already three people sitting over there who aren't going to vote for her. But she is playing. I mean, if you wanted to say that she was playing like a female version of the Russell game, I think it makes sense of she gets the game. Like she knows what has to happen while she's on the island. But I don't think she's seeing how it has to turn back to then currying favor with the people over there. Russell is an extreme example. I know. Sorry,
Kelly. Yeah, I don't want to put Venus in the same bucket as like,
Russell. Yeah, but I think, you know what, though? I think there's something to be said for she is not as chaotic as she might have seemed earlier on.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I do. Yeah. I think that like she does have more, and this is where if I was out there playing, I would be like, you know what? Like maybe, like, I think Venus will do what's in her best interest. And I think she mostly is correct about what's in her best interest, right?
Where
like, I don't think it was smart for Nami to like kind of like cannibalize themselves. But for her, it was maybe the only person that it made sense for because none of them wanted to work with her. So, you know, I think that she, it's like, it's just that the execution is off a little bit, but she understands it. And so that makes her a more attractive alliance or even like vote block person than Q right at this moment.
Agreed. Yeah. And Q, I mean, Tiffany and Kenzie are not working with Q again. So Q's name comes up.
Very
yeah.
burned and upset and annoyed, which I don't blame them. That's tough. But they're an emotional reaction and they're pretty logical people. So
yes. And if Tiff's name comes up and she has to play her idol, her vote is going to Q. Like she is fine with her idling out Q and Q going home in that scenario. She does not care. So,
yeah, I think that's the other reason I think I was like, yeah, Q will, cause that's the name Tiffany's going to push for.
Yes.
When that's the person Tiffany's probably going to vote for. So if Tiffany plays her idol and you know, that would assume the split would probably be with Q if they're trying to target Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we went through your rankings, but who do you think is going to win?
Well, I've been really gassing up Charlie here. So he's my current winner pick. I think he, like I said before, like he's sort of, you never want to be too much of a triple threat. And he's sort of like, he's doing everything well, but not so well that everyone is like, oh my God, Charlie is a huge problem. So I think if he gets there, he has a very strong case to win. I think my other high contender is Kenzie. I think she probably has a lot of game left in her. And I mean, Tiffany was probably my winner pick for almost the whole early portion of the game. And just the last like two, I've just been like, oh no, she's too good. I think she's too good. Oh, I've loved watching her play.
We're the same person right now. I mean, we're in the same boat. I had Tiffany to start the season. Then I was in on Maria. And then all of a sudden it started to shift to Charlie for a couple weeks. And now after last week, I said, oh, it's either Kenzie or Charlie, isn't it? Like, it feels like it's just one of those two. And with Hunter going, not that I really thought Hunter was going to win the season, but with Hunter going, I feel like it did narrow down your pool of people who can win the season. I feel like it did start to kind of draw the lines of contender, pretender. It's starting to feel a little bit clearer.
And you're looking at the edit too. I think like the people who we like understand the most about their strategic thinking is Charlie and Kenzie. And like, I think Maria is thinking very strategically sound as well, but we just heard less from her. I mean, there's still time left that she could really like skyrocket, but that is why I was like, oh, I don't know. I feel like Charlie's getting the narrator role in that duo.
Yes, I totally agree. All right, well, you have anything else you want to add here, or are we all good?
I don't know. I think we're all good. I'm very excited to see everyone's hyping up this episode again. Another like banger. Everyone's like, don't miss it. It's gonna be a big mistake. So you don't know what I thought was funny. I mean, I freaking love watching Q. He is unbelievable casting. Such a funny guy. But in the beginning of the episode, he was like, yeah, you know what? I made a mistake by telling everybody to vote for me at tribal council. But then they made a mistake by not doing it. Mistakes cancel out. Let's go. I thought that was really fun.
There's never been more, like Mississippi has the most people in the world who have made mistakes just because Q is there telling them they've made mistakes, right? He's just pointed out every mistake that they've ever made in their lives.
Very funny.
Like you have what the hell guys, he has big mistake.
He has big mistake. Yeah, he needs to put like giant block letters on a t-shirt. Or
on
like,
his Q skirt.
On the Q skirt. What am I talking about? Obviously, big mistake / Q skirt collab is going to, you know.
When are you thinking that you're going to start selling your what the hell guys Q skirts?
Oh, collab incoming. All right, Q, you know, hit me up in the DMs. We can, really scale our business here.
I like that. And Liz can run it for you. She can be the person who emails everything.
Although, she's going to have her own what the heck you ho bags. I endorse that.
We have a whole line of Survivor attire coming our way.
They really had a lot of good lines this season, you know? Yeah. I might be usurped, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll pass
it. I don't like the shenanigans or whatever it was.
So many good ones. Cancel Christmas.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Kelly, it was a pleasure having you on. I'm so glad we were able to get this worked out. For everybody who's made it this far, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron at patreon.com/thespecialist. I'll be live Wednesday night. It will be Will and I. So Will will be back. For anybody who's been wondering why Will's been MIA, I'll let him kind of explain if he wants. But otherwise, we'll be back on Wednesday night. And in the summer, in the off season, we will talk plenty about season 50. For now, I just want to survive and get through the end of season 46. So I know Jeff made the huge announcement yesterday, and I'm using air quotes for anybody who's only listening. Look, we all knew it was coming. We all knew it was going to be returning players. So yeah. Come on. It's not that crazy.
It's nice to hear, but I feel like it's 50. If they did it for 40, they got to do something big for 50.
The biggest news is that Jeff's just going to be there for season 50. That's the exciting part. Jeff's not leaving. He's ready to stay.
Jeff will never leave. Jeff will have like an AI version of himself, you know, there with his cushion and popcorn.
I know.
Till the end. He's no one is a bigger Survivor stan and fan than Jeff, really.
Jeff is getting theatrical in his old age, and I really do appreciate
that. He really is. Not just spicy Jeff. He's now like, I don't know. He's got a lot of monikers. Yeah.
He does. Also, since we were talking so much about the tweets, and I know you got to go, so I want to get this one in, but did you see Ben's tweet with the alphabet or no?
No. I love Ben's tweets too. Ben's so funny.
He did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, left out Q. So that can also go on a Q skirt. Don't worry.
Very creative. Very, very creative. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. Kelly, it was a pleasure. And we'll see you Wednesday night.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.